Mike Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. That's John chapter 6, verse 33 and 35. And you know, beloved, that's the truth. Jesus Christ did come to earth to give eternal life to all who would believe in him and accept the fact that he died for our sin, that he was buried, and that he arose from the grave, victor over death, Satan, sin, and hell. For he conquered it all, beloved. He is Lord, truly Lord of all. And he came to deliver us from our sin. Remember, the Word of God tells us in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, the first man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, beloved, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it was by this one man that sin entered into the world, and the result of sin is death. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin, the penalty for sin, is death. And so death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. And thus we see the individual need of the human race for a deliverer, for a way of salvation, a way of cleansing, a way of forgiveness for man's sin. So we've read about the first two sons that were born to Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and how that they both made an offering to the Lord. Cain made an offering to the Lord of that which he had grown out in the fields, for he was a farmer. He gave his best, no doubt, in his offering to the Lord, but it was not acceptable, because he had given that which was of the earth, which had been cursed. And God could not accept his gift for two reasons. God did accept Abel's gift, and it was for the same two reasons. God accepted Abel's gift because it was a blood sacrifice, for it is the blood that makes an atonement or a covering for the soul. And it was a sacrifice made by faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6. And so without the shedding of blood there's no remission, no forgiveness, Hebrews 9:22b tells us there in the New Testament. And so we see Abel's sacrifice was a sacrifice that was made by blood and by faith. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice. He took one of the firstlings of his flock. He took a little lamb and offered it for his sin. And his sacrifice was acceptable and pleasing unto God. Now again, we remember that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. That is, there's many wonderful facts and truths, many wonderful accounts given into the Old Testament that may not necessarily you understand the reason why, and why it's recorded, and why God allowed these things to be recorded in those 39 books of the Old Testament. But the New Testament opens up and reveals and unlocks and makes known those wonderful truths that are hidden in the Old Testament. And that's why we have gone back to the Old Testament to see some of the events that took place and what the meaning of them is. Now, we're in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. And last time we were talking about God giving Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age. God had promised Abraham, he'd made a covenant with him. A covenant is an agreement that is not easily broken. It's an agreement laid by blood. That is the killing of the innocent and the separating of parts of the body and walking through the parts. It is such an intense covenant, such an intense agreement that is made. And God made an agreement with Abraham that his descendants would be as the stars of the heavens and as the sand on the seashore. And yet Abraham, at the age of 99, Sarah had not given him a son. But at the age of 100 and at the age of 90, Sarah conceived and gave birth to a son. They called his name Isaac, which means laughter, for God made Sarah to laugh, and she gave birth to a son. And now God has told Abraham to take that special son to a mountain that he will show him and to offer that son as a blood sacrifice to God. Why in the world would God do such a thing? Why in the world would he ask him to do that? And yet Abraham did not drag his feet, but he was quick to obey. It came to pass that after these things God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. This is the book of Genesis, chapter 22, if you want to follow along in your Bible, Genesis 22. And in verse 4, Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Notice the faith of Abraham. Abraham believes that some way, somehow, he and Isaac are going to come back together. He doesn't know how, but he believes that God is able to do that which seems to be impossible. And so Abraham says, We will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Listen to the words of Abraham. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Abraham prophetically knew God would somehow provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And it came to pass, they came to the place, verse 9, which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and then he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, he took his son, his only son, his son whom he loved with all of his heart, he bound him together, and he laid him on that altar that he had made. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold behind him a ram that was a male sheep caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. this ram was offered in Isaac's place. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Oh, yes, beloved, here is a wonderful account, of Abraham and his faith in God. But what does that have to do with Jesus being born in a stable and laid in a manger? What does that have to do with that? Continue listening, beloved. Continue listening. We've seen the individual need, and we've seen how that need was met in the Old Testament by sacrifices, blood sacrifices that were made by faith. Now let's consider the family need, the need of the family. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Exodus, the next book, Genesis, Exodus, chapter 12. And we're going to see the family need here in Exodus chapter 12. Here we see the children of Israel have been in bondage for 430 years. They have been in bondage crying for deliverance. And God has raised up a man named Moses to be their leader and to lead them out from the land of Egypt. And so in verse 1 of chapter 12 of the book of Exodus, we read these words, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you," speaking about the nation of Israel. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb." And then he describes what kind of a lamb. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." A very strange thing to do. Why? Join us next time, we'll find out. Goodbye.